How important is it that our feet be shod? That we have the proper shoes on? It's very important. It's very important that we are equipped with the right gear. If we don't have the right gear on, we become a target easily outmatched by the enemy. But if we have the right armor on to fight in the right battle, we don't go and fight hell with squirt guns. Amen? It takes more than a squirt gun to take out hell. You get what I'm saying? You got to have the right ammunition. Now, having your feet shod is nothing more than putting on a pair of military-style boots. In the Roman times, when this was written, it was written when the Romans had advanced to an extent where they had their feet with sandals, and on the bottom of the sandal was iron-like teeth, or actually iron teeth like spikes, like you would see in a cleat today on a professional baseball field, football field, soccer field, a cleat. So that way, when the soldier was in battle, he could easily grip the terrain and easily not injure himself on the terrain. Now, I don't know about you, but I have very tender feet. I can't walk on jagged rocks and just roam around. Now, my kids, I think they're part Arkansas, and they can walk on anything. Glass, they can walk on rock, they can walk on jagged pieces of broken up concrete. I mean, they can walk on anything. And it's like they don't bother them. But me, on the other hand, I'm very, very fragile. So when I touch those jagged areas, it affects me. So I have to wear shoes when I'm out and about. Well, when the soldier went to battle, could you imagine the people who were barefooted trying to fight on the terrain, trying to fight in an area where the enemy knows that he's not going to bring you to soft, he's not going to take you to a baseball field or a park to have a battle. Okay, so that way you can easily move around in the grass and tumble a little bit and not get scarred when you fall. His goal is to bring you to the most jagged area he can in your life and make it so complicated on you that you had better put on your shoes. Because if you don't, you're going to be very tender in the battle. And the enemy will overcome you because you'll be too stuck on the tenderness of your own feet. And you'll be too stuck on the fact that this hurts too much to be out in this terrain. And the enemy can overcome you very easily because you haven't put on the proper military attire. Put your shoes on, because if you don't put them on, you ain't going to be able to handle the terrain. And the enemy knows. He knows that the terrain is an issue. But he also knows if you don't have shoes on, it's very easy to throw things down to make it even harder. You know, that was one of the tricks of the enemy did on many people who weren't properly fitted with some types of shoes. Many soldiers have died because they stepped on something and could not fight anymore. They would step on like jacks. There was a time in history where jacks wasn't a game. It was a military use that if they didn't have shoes out, and they just throw jacks out there, and that way when the soldiers stepped on the jacks, it would immobilize them and it would stop them from continuing the fight. And they couldn't fight. They couldn't keep going because their feet were cut up from all the jacks that had been kind of thrown out there. You see, the enemy knows that. He's going to lure you into battle, and if you haven't put on the shoes, he has the right thing to trip you up, to cut up your feet, make you weak that you cannot fight. Make it to where you cannot battle right. He'll immobilize you by simply tripping you up and making you so conscious of the fact that you have no grip to go forward, that you're hurting. How many times does the devil pin us down and gets us to concentrate on what is hurting? How often are we crying about the hurt other than, God, we're going to be victorious? You hardly hear the victorious cry from the Christian who is hurt because he hasn't put on the shoes properly. You hardly hear them cry victory. But the ones who put on the shoes properly, they constantly cry victory because they're prepared for the enemy to bring that type of military attack. Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, the devil has desired to sift you, In other words, the enemy has a plan to immobilize you, to stop you, to hinder you. He's got a plan to stop the work of God. I want you to know something, that the enemy has a plan to stop God working in your life. He'll come to you from friendships. He'll come to you outside the church. He'll come to you at the job site. He'll come to you in a friendly voice. He'll come to you in any site he can, that he can bring that moment where he can sift you and shake the gospel inside of your heart and stop God from doing something good through your life. Jesus said, Peter, the devil has desired you, but I've prayed for you. But I've prayed for you. What? And there ain't no better person to pray for you than Jesus. Amen. And you know what? The Bible said he ever liveth to make intercession, not just for Peter, but for you and I. Amen. Ain't that a wonderful thing? He's interceding on our behalf. But see, you got to understand, the enemy wants to stop us from going forward. And so putting the boots on is imperative. It has to happen. Another thing that the enemy realizes is that if he wounds you, you're not agile. You're not quick. You want to know something about athletics? You have to be quick. You have to be agile. You know, I love soccer. When I was a young kid, I was fit. I was in shape. And I had an 8-pack. I don't anymore. I could run and run and run and run and run. I was agile. When I fell down, I got back up real quick. When I tripped, I hit the ground like a spring. Boom, got back up again. You know, now I trip and I fall and I think about getting back up. My 8-pack has turned into more like a keg. Okay, things are not the same. I'm not as agile as I used to be, is what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not as quick as I used to be. Now, I still love soccer. And I play all the time. I play with all these adults. I play with Brother Tom over here. He's just like me. When he falls down, he thinks about getting up too. So I play with Tom. That makes me look better. Tom knows what I'm talking about. So when I go play with the 18-year-olds, and I go play with what we call the Mexicans, that's a whole other story. And I'm not as agile as they are, and I'm not as quick as they are. You want to know how hard it is for me to keep up with an 18-year-old who is fit, who is a spring, who can just keep running? You see, I got in a foot race with one of them. I was side by side. He had the ball. He's running down the field, and I'm running down the field, and I'm thinking, this boy, he ain't going to beat me. This 18-year-old boy, I'm going to make him ashamed. And so I began to breathe you're supposed to. And I began to pump that air in because I knew my muscles needed some air. And so I began to run. Man, I was running. And that boy whooped me to death. And when I got to the end, I still was out of breath with all my breath. Not as agile as I used to be. When you get on the field with this enemy, you better be quick. Because if you're not, he'll whoop you. The Bible says the word of the Lord is quick. It's powerful. In other words, there's a mighty move in it. And we have got to be prepared with the gospel that we put the shoes on so we can be quick. Also, the shoes, not only do they protect us from the enemy's plans to immobilize us, but it also gives us traction where we would normally falter. Understand that if you don't have on the proper shoe for the proper situation, you can easily fall. I took my kids to Southern California, and we went to rock climbing, you know, and I didn't have my shoes on. And I thought, oh, this will be easy, you know, no big deal, rock climbing, come on. Well, when you put on 40 or 50 extra pounds, it's a little harder than you think. And so I'm climbing on this rock wall, and I noticed real fast, guess what, I didn't have any shoes on. You want to know why? Because the extra 40, 50 pounds is putting the weight on my toes that are clinging to the edge of a wall. And if I don't hold on, I fall. And if I fall, I fall into this big sweaty mess of all this foam stuff they put down here. And getting out of that's even worse because my body sinks all the way to the bottom. And so I muscled all the way through that. My toes were hurting, my feet were hurting because I didn't have the proper shoe on. When I play basketball, I don't put on my nice Stacy Adam dress shoes. Because on the basketball court, they don't have the right traction. I got to have the right shoes. When I go running, I have the right running shoes on because I don't want to, I want to be able to run carefully and precisely. I don't run in my nice work boots. There's the right attire. You understand? The right traction. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the right traction we need when we go up against this enemy and the terrain that he'll lead us into. You will not falter wearing the right shoes fighting this enemy. The enemy knows. He knows that if he can get you to falter, push you back, if you don't have on the right shoes, he knows he'll just keep pushing you. You know, David said, my foot almost slipped. You know why it almost slipped? Because the devil kept pushing him. He kept saying, David, look at them rich, wealthy sinners. Look at them. They want for nothing. Look at them sinners out there doing that and living like they are. And it's like they don't ever suffer. Look at them people. Rich, wealthy sinners. And David said, my foot, I got my eyes on them and my foot almost slipped. I almost lost balance. Why? Because the devil kept pushing. You know, the devil keeps pushing us, doesn't he? He'll push you when you come to church. You're tired. Don't worship God with all your heart. You're tired. You've been through a lot this week. You don't have to give it your all. He'll just keep pushing. And a lot of people slip. He'll keep pushing. He'll tell you, did you hear what that Christian said? Did you hear that? That so-called Christian. Did you hear what they were talking, how they were talking? Christians don't talk like that. And it'll just keep pushing you and then make you think maybe I ought to quit being a Christian because Christians don't talk right. There are too many hypocrites in the church. Therefore, that gives me a right to not be a good Christian. He'll keep pushing. He'll say, did you see what that so-called Christian was doing? Oh, them so-called Christians. That's why I don't serve God. That's why I don't get in there and serve God because the rest of them don't. Well, that's going to work real good on Judgment Day. All right? Some of you have been parents. Some of you, your kids have grown up, moved out. Did any of your kids ever try to tell you, well, my friends did it? I get that all the time with my kids. Well, they do it. And I go, you're not them. And I'm not their parents. So you're going to do what I say to do. God doesn't care about that. He wants you to serve him and have the right attire on so that you don't lose traction when the enemy begins pushing. Now listen to this. The Bible says that we need to have our feet shod with the preparation. Interesting word here because having our feet shod requires absolute preparation. For instance, when I go to bed at night, I don't go to bed with my shoes on. I have no intentions on walking anywhere. At least I hope not. You know, if you sleepwalk, that's a whole other story. Maybe you need to go to bed with your shoes on. But I don't have any plans on walking anywhere, so I take my shoes off. But when I get up and I go about the day, I prepare for the day. If I know I'm working, you know what I do? I put my work boots on. If I'm coming to church, I put on my dress shoes on. I get prepared for the day. The gospel, the being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace is a preparation process. We have to prepare ourselves. It's always the unprepared that stand and weep at the devastation the enemy causes. Those who stand there and say, I don't understand. How could you let this happen, God? Why would this happen? I've been serving you. I've been good to you. I've been faithful. And they stand there weeping and crying at the cause and effect that the enemy has brought because they have been unprepared. The Bible says, the scripture tells us that think it not strange when fiery trials come upon you. But how often are we going, this is so strange. This is so strange that right now nothing is good. That nothing is going my way. This is so strange. Listen, it's not strange. It's the enemy trying to attack you. And if you don't put the right shoes on, if you're not prepared for it, if you're not mentally ready for it, he'll whoop you. Jesus said to Peter, come and I'll make you a fisher of men. the important words that Jesus said to Peter was, I will make you. I'll prepare you, Peter. I'll form you. I'll make you. God is the potter and we are his clay. He'll form us. He'll make us. But we have to be prepared for what is coming. Divine help or divine interruption is dependent on our preparation. Can you imagine a soldier going out there to fight in a battle? Let's just take ISIS, for instance. That's something we all know. Could you imagine, Could you imagine a soldier going out on the battlefield where he knows ISIS military are? And he walks out there and he says, you know what? I don't need my military weapons. I don't need my prop. Let me just put on some running shoes. I'm just going to go on out here and I'm just going to walk on through here and I might even say I'm a Christian. I might even march out on the battlefield and say, I am a Christian. Hello, people. I'm a Christian. Do what you want. I don't care. I've got God on my side. ISIS is going to grab you, and we'll be watching you on some TV show, on Facebook somewhere. Something happening to you. But when a soldier goes to a battlefield, he goes with preparation. He knows the terrain. He knows where he's going. He knows what's out there. He knows what the enemy's got planned. He knows the ability of the enemy. And so he puts the right attire on. He puts the right boots on. He puts the right military weapons on. And he goes there with the backup and the help of divine interruption that if he gets in a pinch, he calls and says, we really need some help. And guess what comes overhead? Here comes some birds overhead. Here comes some fighters overhead. And a mighty war ensues because of preparation. The problem with many Christians is they're like dancing through the tulips. Oh, this is a great, great love serving the Lord. And then when the trial comes, they're just like that military person marching through ISIS. What happened? Well, what happened is you were unprepared. Listen, this is the truth of it. You just either got out of a fight or you're about to get into one. Amen? That's the way my friends say it back in Missouri. You was about to get into one. Because the truth is that we'll go from battle to battle. Listen, I love it on the mountaintop. But when you're on the mountaintop, it's time to prepare that you might be going into a valley. That you might be going into warfare. The enemy is not going to make this trip easy. If you thought going to heaven was going to be, oh, just fine and dandy. Welcome to reality. Because it isn't. Serving God takes real determination. I've been through some of the hardest battles of my Christian walk and almost left the ranks of serving God on many occasions because it was very, very difficult, very complicated. I had good people that I thought loved me, chew me up and down one side the other. I had Christian folk that I thought were supposed to take care of me, start eating me alive. I'm telling you, I've been down the road a lot. I've been a pastor. I've been ridiculed. I've been rejected. I've had people walk out on me. I've had people split churches in my church and walk out. I've had people say nothing but evil of me, and all I did was good for them. I can tell you this has not been an easy trip. Matter of fact, it was so bad that one preacher said, I pray for the day when Christians all get along. Amen. And the truth is, church, is that we think that serving God, we're serving God, so now everything is good. Listen, it is good. Serving God and being in his ranks is good. But what did you think good was? Good is him. Good is him and serving him. But you're going to still go in the battlefield and you better be ready. You better be prepared. Putting on the shoes is a preparation. The prepared soldier knows the battle is coming and he or she is armed and very dangerous. But what do we prepare our feet with? What do we put on our feet? The gospel of peace. This isn't just any old shoe. This isn't the philosophies of the day. This isn't This isn't some type of ancient Chinese proverb that we're putting on our feet, and we're going to walk with that. This isn't philosophy and psychology 101 to put on the right shoes. Listen, psychology will fail you. You know, psychology's answer for all the problems today is let's give them a pill. You know what psychology's number one answer is? It was your mama that did this to you. That's why you're so bad. The truth is, you're just bad because your heart is evil and you need to be saved. Amen? That's the problem. This is not philosophies or some type of foreign thing that nobody knows. This is a gospel. I love that Paul used the word gospel because it's more than just the word. It's the word proclaimed. It's the word preached. A gospel. You see, many people march into battle with their Bible that they never read. Well, I got the Bible now. You dead, devil. You're going down. I'm going to take you out, devil. I got the Bible. And then they put on this cross or something on their neck, and they start holding the cross, and they've never been to church a day in their life, but that cross somehow, they rub it, and they just think somehow that's going to do it. Or they pull out their fancy little beans they got from some priest somewhere, and they start, oh, these beans are going to really bring me through. These beans are going to do it. Let me tell you, that is the most ridiculous thing I ever heard in my life. The Bible says that it's the preparation of a gospel that brings peace. A prepared word that has been placed in your heart. Nobody goes and eats food unprepared. When I want to eat food, my wife prepares it. There's raw hamburger meat. I don't just go there and open the raw hamburger meat and start eating. It needs preparation. The gospel needs prepared in your life. It needs to be proclaimed, not just by words, but in deed and in truth. It needs to be lived. It needs to be a gospel that is walked, that is proclaimed in your lifestyle. It is that we proclaim in our life, that we live in our life, that brings absolute power to our lives. Otherwise, it's just a bunch of foolish words. Everybody knows formulas. I've been saying this for weeks now. I guess it's got to keep saying it. Everybody knows the formulas of Christianity. They know how to say the oh me and oh my and cry at the right place. They know how to fall down on an altar and weep for a moment and have no change. They know how to come in and go out and look Christianity up and down and say they are, even though they don't match it. The word of God does not lie. It will not lie. It cannot lie. And Jesus said this word is what we will be judged by. And the truth of his word. If we love him, then we will keep his commandments. The Christian that knows this is powerful in the eyes of God. If he lives the walk, walks the walk, preaches the truth of it, and he's prepared the gospel in his own heart. How dangerous is that person? I'll tell you how dangerous they are. The devil is worried sick that that Christian will march out there in the dark world and start being a light and start showing people how the light can change them. Very dangerous. You realize that if everybody in here began to evangelize with the light of his gospel 100% with all our hearts, what we could do in this community in just the span of maybe 10 years, we would radically transform Kingman, Arizona. Radically. We wouldn't be able to fit all the people in the new building we plan on building. We wouldn't be able to do none of that. It'd just blow up in this place because of a gospel that's been prepared. You want to know what the biggest problem today in the church is? It's not atheist. It's not the atheist. It's not the agnostics out there that are causing the greatest problem. It's not all the documents and literature that's being produced against Christianity today. That's not the biggest problem. It's when another brother gossips about another brother that the biggest problem has occurred in all of history. When another Christian backbites another Christian and destroys the character of that believer, they have done more damage than any devil in hell could ever do in the house of God. That is the biggest problem today, is the unprepared gospel. But yet we proclaim we're Christians. Yet we proclaim we are believers. And then we say with power and authority, devil, get behind me. But all we do is backbite and gossip and ridicule and say evil of our brother. I'm telling you, you know not God. That attitude does not know anything to do with God, has nothing to do with God. This is wearing the gospel, not talking about it. No half-hearted attempt or taking Jesus and trying to add him to your already messed up life is going to fix this. No, only the gospel can change us. Only the gospel. Not no philosophy, not no foreign theologies out there, and none of those. I'm going to tell you, Joseph Smith, he can't do it for you. Jehovah's Witness, they can't get it done. I'm sorry, there's not many ways to heaven. I apologize. I don't want to offend. I do want to offend the devil. Let me just slap him in the face right now. There are not many ways to heaven. There's one way to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. Narrow is the way to him. That's it. Only one way. And today there's so many foolish things being proclaimed out there that everybody's running to this foolishness or this foolishness. But the truth is, there's only one gospel that saves men's souls. And I want you to know that it's the only gospel that brings peace. The Bible proclaims that it's not just peace, it's peace that passes understanding. Because you can't understand why I got peace in this messed up situation. That's what it means. You can't understand how good you don't understand why I got a smile on my face and everything's falling apart. I'll tell you why. I got Jesus. Amen. I got Jesus. And the gospel has been prepared. It's been served up on a platter of holiness and righteousness and justification and sanctification. And I've put it on. And now I'm prepared for this war. Prepared for it because I've been putting on the right armor. When we wear the gospel, we're not trying to mop up any mess. We're actually destroying what the enemy's doing. Oftentimes the Christian, if their gospel's not prepared in their heart, they're mopping up the mess after the devil comes in and wreaks havoc. And they're mopping it up, moaning and groaning, God, why'd you let this happen? But the Christian prepared is not moaning about it happening. He was there when it happened. And he was watching it when it did happen. But he's fighting back the whole time. And he's warring against it. And he's praying against it. And they know one thing the soldier knows, that when he is watching the enemy wreak havoc in the kingdom of God, he is standing there and he is saying, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. If God be for me, then who can be against me? You may come in one way, but you're going to flee several ways from me. That's the gospel in those people that are prepared. Smith Wigglesworth, a very well-prepared man, went to a foreign country by which demonic spirits, witch doctors, were trying to cause such fear and doubt to seize and stop the gospel from going forward. One night, late at night, Smith Wigglesworth is in his room. The curtains in his room began to blow. Things began to shake and fall off the counter, off of his dresser. His bed began to shake out of place, literally out of the place it was sitting. It was rattling and moved out of its place. Smith Wigglesworth woke up. He realized it was the devil, and he said, oh, it's you. He said, put it back, because I got to go back to bed. And the bed wiggled right back in its place, and Smith Wigglesworth went right back to bed. He wasn't afraid of no devil. He wasn't afraid of any of those things. Why? It's a prepared gospel. Jesus didn't tremble at Legion, but Legion trembled at Jesus. Legion trembled at Jesus. Devils tremble at the believer who is prepared, who is watching, who is waiting, who is prepared for the battle. They march with the understanding that they've got the shoes on. Go ahead, put the jacks down. I'll crush them. Go ahead, bring me to the terrain of my life that's rough and difficult for me to deal with, and I'll break it down. Go ahead, push me. I've got the right shoes on. I'll grip the ground, and I'll keep fighting forward. That is a prepared gospel of peace. It's only that gospel that brings peace. There is no peace outside of Jesus Christ. There is none. You want to know why I know that? I've tried a lot of stuff. You say, you're young. Yeah, I know. You should have been with me when I was younger. You would believe me. One of my friends, his mother passed away. We were skaters together and did a lot of evil things together. I called him to comfort him. I got a call from another friend, said, hey, Bruce, you need to call this. His name was Jason. He said, call Jason. His mom died, and he's just really distraught. So I called my friend, and I said to him, I said, hey, Jay, how you doing, man? He said, I'm doing good. I haven't heard from you in a while. What are you up to? I said, man, I'm a pastor. I pastor in Kingman, Arizona. He goes, you what? I said, yeah, I pastor in Kingman, Arizona. He said, you are the ringleader of all of our junk. I said, I know, man. But I got the chance to preach to him the gospel that changes men's lives. Because he saw what I was, and I told him, I go, listen, you remember what I was. You knew what I used to do. You were there when I committed all those evil things. You watched it. You participated in it. And I was the one leading you down that path. But let me show you another path. That's better, Jay. Let me show you another path. It's a gospel that brings peace. You know what? I had nothing to live for in sin. Not one thing. Matter of fact, I was looking for meaning in life. Give me something that's worth meaning. Give me something. I was looking for meaning. I had none. No meaning. I didn't have a reason really to live, a reason to die. I had no meaning in life. But when I finally found Jesus, or let's put it this way, when Jesus finally found me, I had a reason to live. I have a reason to die. I never felt more complete in all of my life. Nothing could give it to me. Drugs never gave me that. It brought me up. It brought me down. Girls, all they did is bring me up, bring me down. Nothing ever brought me peace, but Jesus brought me peace. Amen. A prepared gospel. And I want you to know the gospel that saved me wasn't a weak, limp-wristed gospel. And what I mean by those terms is that it did not compromise it and did not play games with it. It said, this is the truth. That's it. They didn't water it down, and that's what changed my hard heart, was that message. And I want you to know it's still the message that changes hard hearts. It still is. Put on your boots. Put on your combat boots. Get out there and be prepared for the battle that's coming your way. Be prepared for it. Don't whine when it comes. Stomp the devil on the ground when it comes. Don't give him shouts of victory and say, oh, the devil's got me on the fence right now, but I'm trusting you, God. Put the devil way up here and God way down here. Put God up there and say, devil, you're going down today. And don't praise his efforts. Don't acknowledge what he's done. Don't acknowledge how he's wreaking havoc. But you let him know that he has lost.